What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Where to Begin podcast. I am one of your hosts, Christy Francesco.
And I am the other host, Morgan DeFrancesco.
I hope everybody had a great Easter holiday. We were very much looking forward to recording this episode. We were supposed to record this the other day, but then some things kind of came up.
Life
things, very exciting things that we can't really discuss at this moment. No, we're not having another baby. It is not a child. But yeah, we have exciting things going on, stressful things, but all good things, right? All good things. One of the topics that Morgan discussed in our return episode was we would do shows of just random topics, like things that are either on our mind or something that would draw a pretty good conversation between the two of us. Because, you know, to be frank with everybody, we don't record this show for you. We record this show because Morgan and I don't get too many chances to communicate like, you know, functional adults. So this podcast is a good outlet for us to communicate. It's almost like dating, except we're in the same house, just on different floors and on Zoom. So we're just talking.
And you're not bringing me treats or flowers. This would be a very bad date.
However, I'm giving you less time than you gave me on our first date. So I guess you could say it makes it even worse. I know. So one of the topics I wanted to discuss with Morgan, and it's a topic that I like discussing with her when she's interested. She used to be much more interested before, you know, kids and work, and that's film. And what I love to talk about is, you know, comic book movies, comic book anything. I wanted to discuss DC Comics and the possible return of the Snyderverse within film. And I feel it's the only way that Warner Brothers or Discovery now can remotely compete with anything Marvel is finding a way to restore the Snyderverse. Morgan, you are a Marvel fan. You choose Marvel.
Wait. We just got to kick this off. It's got to be like, all right, topic today is Snyder Universe. Here we go.
All right. We don't have someone to
do that. We don't need someone because I just did it.
Okay, so.
I did it live.
Yes, you, well, kind of. It's recorded. But yes, you did it live. So. My question to you is my first question to kick things off before we get really deep into the waters of this is you enjoy Marvel much more than DC Comics, correct?
Accurate.
Okay. Was it always that way? Because DC movies have been made a lot longer than Marvel.
No, I've always liked it. I don't think I really, embarrassingly enough, never really knew the split between DC and Marvel. Yeah. I was one of those people. Mm-hmm. So I knew it as Batman and Spider-Man. I never really made the connection that they're in different universes, that they're not in the same, but they're completely different comics. So I just have always enjoyed comic book movies ever since I was a kid. So yes, but I like the Marvel ones better because I think they're done better, and I don't include the Dark Knight series because that is not a superhero film. It is a crime thriller series where the protagonist just happens to be Batman.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So and it was a fun little factoid here that a good friend of mine texted me this morning. He said that
Dean?
Yes,
it's Dean.
He sent me
if you're telling me a friend of yours text you first thing in the morning and it's related to comics,
it's going to be Dean or George. So Dean said there's been 25 Marvel films made and they've made $27.5 billion. You talk about a success rate. It's
like, can you imagine if I had 25 clients and my total worth was $27 billion? Wow.
Yeah, it's we would not be doing this podcast because the island that we would be living on wouldn't have Wi-Fi.
We would not. How would you watch your wrestling shows?
I don't care.
How would you watch We would not survive without Wi-Fi. It doesn't matter how pure white that sand beach is and how crystal clear that water is. We are not surviving without Wi-Fi.
It's crazy, the trajectory of Marvel since Iron Man, really. You know, we always talk about, not you and I, but in the sports, I'm going to take, you know, hockey, for example.
Ugh, I hate hockey.
I'm trying to do an analogy.
So you take any other sport.
I actually can't. And you'll understand why. So in hockey, the goal for a hockey player is to be a point per game player, 1 point per game as a career. And that's really good. And it's consistent. In film, it rarely ever works that way, where you make a movie, makes a billion. You make another movie, makes a billion. Like, it's insanity. I mean, I know it's not all like that, but it, you know, some movies have made so much money that it's accounted for others. But
it's hun, called like tent pole.
Yeah. So just imagine, hun, 25 movies and you're averaging a billion per movie. Like, I'm not sure that'll ever be done again.
No, but they also have higher costs, and I'm not trying to downplay the success of them. But they also, like, if you look at, you have to look at the movies and how, like, can you imagine the salaries they had to pay out for Endgame and for,
oh my God, yeah,
Infinity War, because yeah, you have all
A-list,
you know,
actors.
A-list actors, and then all the special effects, and then all of the global marketing, and they're very, very expensive films. Right. Which is, I mean, I'm not trying to downplay their success, but they're all tentpole films. I don't know if they're considered tentpole films from, I'm sure there are some films that weren't that great, like Black Widow, but tentpole films are films that a studio basically just needs to have a couple really solid films each year in order to make up for the losses on its crappy films. I'm just like, don't make the crappy films. That's why, that's what Pixar's whole thing is Pixar for years only made one film a year, and it was one damn good film. And then they went to two films a year. There was one year where they had no mm-hmm. films. I feel like that was 2014, 2015-ish. Mm-hmm. No, 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13. I feel like it was 14.
Okay. Well, keep talking. I'll look it
anyway,
up.
And because they would do one really good film a year. Yes.
So they didn't have one at all in 2002. They didn't have one at all in 2005.
Well, they were too early then. And but like once they got getting consistent.
So 2014 is correct.
Okay. So it was 2014. Yep. So, you know, you make one really good film and that's it. Where these other studios make a bunch of crap and they have one really good film that's able to make up for all the crap. And I'm just like, why make the crap? But some people like the crap.
But you know? I feel like for the longest time, Marvel wasn't making crap.
No, every Marvel never movie. Did. I'm just explaining tentpole films in general.
Oh, no, Marvel did. The first Captain America was bad. The first two Thors were bad. Hulk, you know what's was interesting? Bad.
It's a very interesting mindset. I feel like if people go back now, they don't say it's bad because they see how these films fit within the entire story.
That makes
but
sense.
But as a standalone film, when they first came out, some of them weren't that, like, people weren't that excited, but you enjoy Thor more as you get and Thor and Captain America and even Iron Man 3, you enjoy them more as you get deeper into the Marvel universe because you're able to see how it all connects. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's very interesting and very fascinating.
Yeah. So Endgame, for example, just the production budget was $400 million. We're going to assume here, let's throw a round number that it cost $200 million for advertising and marketing, right? Is that a fair number? Do you think more?
That's not included in that budget, I don't think.
That's what I said. I said add.
Oh, so you're adding, probably. Yeah.
So you're looking at a $600 million film to make.
Well, it's hard because actually advertising, I don't know because... No, they did do a lot. They do a lot of advertising because they build excitement, but it's a film that doesn't need a lot of advertising.
No, I know. But let's just say $600 million. The movie made $2.8 billion. So it's like, my God, like it's almost as if the budget of the movie didn't even mean a thing, right?
Right. Promotions. That's what I'm thinking of.
That's right. I mean,
so there's within the whole marketing, there's grassroots promotion type work, and then there's the actual advertisements and like paid spots. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've spent much on promotions, which film studios actually pay a ton of money for. Mm-hmm. That's things like they'll have mini red carpet appearances here and there to try and build awareness of the film. They'll screen the film for audiences across the country. They spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on promotions. That's what I'm thinking of. I don't think Marvel has to spend, I don't think they spend a lot on promotions. I think it's just paid advertisements.
What does a premiere cost?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
It's because you gotta, but do you have to pay the talent, or are they contractually obligated to be there?
No, you don't pay them. I don't think they make anything. And I don't know if they're contractually obligated to be there either.
Interesting.
They might be. That's a really good question. I don't know. But premieres, there's different things tied into it. Like, it's not just the premiere. So people, you have to take, you know what talent does? Everything gets paid for them. I don't think they get paid, but they don't pay a dime. Like, the studio books their flights, and the studio books, I would book their hotel rooms. I would go into their hotel rooms before they arrive and make sure the toilet flush, make sure all the lights worked, make sure it was clean. I would check them in under their alias. That way they never even had to go to the front desk. So like little things like, so they don't get paid, but everything is paid for.
What a life.
I know. And so, but with the cost of the premiere, you have to think it's the actual premiere event, which has all the production costs that go into it. And then usually tied to a premiere is the national and international press junkets. They'll have one day of national and one day of international. So usually all that being tied into one, it's one massive, massive expense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's kind of now get away from Marvel. That's for another time, another podcast. And I want to talk about my favorite, which is DC Comics. I love Marvel. Don't get me wrong. It's become this weird thing online now, whereas if you love Marvel, you have to hate DC. If you love DC, you have to hate Marvel. It makes no sense to me. I don't understand it. It's like, if you like Carson Wentz, you have to hate Nick Foles. It's like that whole thing.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so it's so funny. But so I want to talk about DC Comics, and I believe in terms of the Snyderverse in DC, I think you and I have seen every movie together, right? We saw Batman versus Superman together.
Well, I don't know if you ever watched Man of Steel with me, because you said you hated Man of Steel, even though you like
it coming out. Okay, sorry. I saw Man of Steel together. Yeah, I saw Man of Steel. No, we did, because I remember watching it and saying that I hate this scene. This scene's awful. So I saw Man of Steel in theaters at a midnight showing on its debut a long time ago. Then it was Batman versus Superman we saw. Then we saw the Justice League, which was the original version of the Justice League. We both came out of that thinking that was awful. And then we got...
I don't even remember seeing that.
I know.
But I remember seeing that.
Right. Yeah, we saw it.
Then Wonder Woman.
We saw Wonder Woman.
Aquaman. No, that was... I had to turn you on to... You didn't watch Aquaman. I think Dean and George encourage you to watch Aquaman. I don't think you didn't see it in theaters or anything.
I didn't see Aquaman before you.
I watched it. I remember watching it. You had no interest in it.
Yeah, well, that's changed. I've seen that movie 42 times probably in 6 months.
And I've seen the different tattoos you're considering getting. Oh, who needs something dedicated to their wife when you could have something dedicated to a blonde man who talks to fish?
That's a talent, damn it.
It is. I don't got that talent.
So
gosh, our dog doesn't even listen to me.
He doesn't really listen to anybody. So what happened was the Justice League came out, and then the whole meltdown of the entire studio and the hatred against Zack Snyder, who made another version of the film that everybody begged for. So COVID hits, unfortunately, and all over social media was, we want the Snyder cut. Well, out of nowhere, Warner Brothers comes out and says, all right, we're going to drop the Snyder cut in that March of 2020, right? 2021, 2020, something like that.
I think it was 2021.
I think it was 2021.
It was 2021.
And we're all like, as fans, like, oh my God, we won. Like, we forced the studio to release another cut. It blows HBO Max up. It becomes like this worldwide phenomenon where for the past year straight, every other day, hashtag Restore the Snyderverse trends worldwide on Twitter. It did it again today. And we're at a point now, hon, where after Doctor Strange, there's like kind of, I want to say, like in terms of highly anticipated movies, a little bit of a lag for Marvel.
No?
I would think. I mean,
Thor? And Guardians?
No, Guardians is next year.
But still, they're upcoming.
No, I meant like in the next like 6-8 months. I'm talking about like we're not getting, you know, you're getting Thor, yes, but Thor's not, hasn't always been the most popular, sought after. He will be now because, I mean, Guardians is part of the movie. I don't think many people are too interested, I could be wrong, in the second Black Panther. So you have that coming, right?
I don't know how people are going to feel about that because
Chadwick Boseman's no longer here.
Right. And so I don't know, because, you know, people loved, I think people will go to because they love him, but I think the studio made a mistake.
I agree.
Know, I don't know. I have so many opinions about that. It's like, do you just recast and move on? Or do you stop it? Or didn't they make, isn't the lead the woman, the girl?
I believe so. Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
So you just have to see how they do it.
Yeah. All right. So now coming up for DC, everything was pushed back because there's a lot of, I mean, the merger just became official a couple of weeks ago, where now Discovery owns Warner Media, and a lot of heads rolled. A lot of people were fired. The head of HBO Max was fired. So you're coming fired. Up. Michael Scott, that was funny. You got Black Adam coming up, starring The Rock.
No, below zero interest.
I'm excited for it because it fits him.
You know what? And there's, I want, one thing that people never really talk about is, yes, obviously the Marvel movies are really, really good, but you have to get people to the theater. Mm-hmm. And the people, and I'm sorry, but they always have incredible movie trailers. Always.
Who? Where it's like Marvel?
Marvel.
Yeah.
Even like Guardians, which is actually a very obscure comic that's not really major
very
at all.
Very obscure, yeah.
That people get excited about. But I'm sorry, just the Black Adam, everything about that just doesn't seem exciting to me. And it seems really cheesy and hokey. It gives me the superhero like hokiness thing, but you know what doesn't? Doctor Strange, who's a magician, you know what I mean? And Moon Knight, who takes on this persona of an Egyptian god. But like, there's something, they do something so well, the trailers are so well done that you're really truly able to suspend your disbelief and get excited about it and not see it as this cheesy thing. But I don't think DC's ever really had that nearly.
Yeah, and then
they have very different, sorry, I'm just going to one more.
No, go ahead.
They have very different editing crews because I like the editing style of Marvel much better. I think there's something about, I don't know how to describe it, but the action and the fight scenes in DC movies seem a little more over the top and fake, where I feel like the Marvel fight seems
reality.
I can't say, it's hard to say realistic because you have aliens and things, but you know, there's something about the way they're edited, the way it's done, the way it's all composed and put together.
Yeah.
It looks way more seamless where, I don't know, I just feel like DC always has this hokiness factor to it. I
can't, like, but that DC, it. Like, for example, that warehouse like fight scene with Ben Affleck in Batman versus Superman, it's one of the best fight scenes in any comic book movie, like, ever.
Yeah, but you know what? I thought it was really cheesy at the end when he's like, save Martha! Martha! You know, whatever he's saying, Martha's mom's name or whatever. Mm-hmm. Save! Like, he has that, like, really intense face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just, I just think they have more cheesy moments, to be honest.
I agree.
You know what? You know what they, what Marvel does that DC never does? Marvel acknowledges the fact that they're ridiculous, and they have a lot of characters make comments about the ridiculousness of what's going on. And they acknowledge it and it makes it funny. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, like they're all, my favorite lines is when Rocket Raccoon, they're all like this epic scene where like, we're going to formulate a plan and Rocket's like, well, now I'm standing, we're all standing, a bunch of jackasses standing in a circle. But it's like, I just appreciate how they are able to poke fun at the genre and acknowledge the absurdity of things. And I think it makes it more enjoyable. But where DC takes themselves more serious. Tell me the comedy. Where's the comedy in the DC movies?
No, I agree, but I think what DC does is they pay better homage to actual comic books. That's the thing.
Well, DC also has some of the comic book characters that people love as is. Yeah. People love Batman as is. People love Superwoman, Wonder Woman as is, Superman as is. The flat, like those characters are really loved. You know what characters weren't really loved? Iron Man.
I know.
Guardians,
Thor,
the only true Thor. I think the two, I think Spider-Man was like the most well-loved one. And actually Hulk, mm-hmm. I absolutely argue that Hulk in terms of Marvel. And so DC takes characters that are widely loved and creates those characters where mm-hmm. Marvel's able to take characters that are more obscure and people never really big fan of it and turn them into everyone's favorite.
I agree. So then coming up also after Black Adam is a lot of controversy surrounding that movie is The Flash, because every week now Ezra Miller is getting arrested for something new. Doesn't matter. He's a scumbag anyway. But and then you have Aquaman coming out next March. It was supposed to come out in December, which I called about 8 months ago. I said it was going to get pushed back because you're not going to come out with probably your biggest film of the entire company, because Aquaman 1 made over $1 billion and Jason Momoa has only gotten more and more popular since Aquaman 1. And
you've single-handedly funded the studios with your love of Jason Momoa products and film memorabilia.
It was smart of Discovery to push it back, because their release date would have been 2 weeks before the release of Avatar 2. Now, regardless of what anybody thinks about Avatar, it's a James Cameron movie. It's the second biggest movie in the, the biggest movie in the history of film. The interest is already built in. And the last thing you want to do is where Aquaman's going to need that 3-5 week bill to get to that, you know, $800-900 million movie. After that second week, it's dead in the water. It's going to be Avatar, and it's just the way it's going to be. So you have to push that back. It's just smart. And like you said, I think March is one of those dead times in film, right? So for Aquaman to come out in March, that's probably a really good idea.
I mean, I should have known this because there's Avatar Land in Disney, but I was like, who owns Avatar? And it was 20th Disney. Century Fox, which of course now is Disney.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm very interested because I think the thing people forget is that the big part of Avatar when it first came out was because it was truly this brand new 3D technology, and people didn't talk about the plot. They talked about how visually stunning, in the words you like to use, the film was. So I'm really interested to see how that translates into the second one, because it wasn't the plot, and they can't, you know, do they have a new 3D technology where they're gonna it's like 4D where you get water shot out at you? You know what I mean? Like, I'm interested to see truly how popular Avatar 2 is, because the popularity of Avatar 1 really didn't have much to do with the plot.
Yeah.
And so with there no new tech or buzz around that, like you went to go see Avatar because you had to see it because of the new 3D technology. There's mm-hmm. that is not built into the second one. So, and Avatar is not known for its plot. So I'm really curious to see how that translates. Also, side note, in terms of Aquaman moving, I think it's not very good to have that come out, because when was it supposed to come out?
December.
Oh, and it got pushed to April?
It got pushed to March.
March. Okay, that makes sense. I'm also curious as to what they're going to do with the whole Amber Heard, Johnny Depp case, which we talked about today.
That was what I was going to ask you. Yeah. By the way, it's been 13 years since the first Avatar. My gosh.
I know. And they're planning Avatar 3 for 2024. It's just amazing how that just comes out.
I think, isn't like Avatar 2, 3, and 4 coming out like 1 year after the other, right? I think they were all, yeah, that's smart. So the whole Amber Heard, I mean, we're staying very topical with this right here. So the whole Amber Heard, Johnny Depp case is going on right now. And a lot has come to light regarding Amber Heard, visual evidence, audio evidence. She hasn't denied the idea of shitting on the floor next to Johnny Depp's side of the bed, which Johnny Depp discussed under oath in court a couple days ago. And it's now become like the number one meme on the internet, which is hilarious. But and a lot of audio evidence of Amber Heard verbally and physically abusing Johnny Depp. And so it's almost a blessing in disguise for Discovery that they had to move Aquaman an additional 3 months. So Morgan, I'm going to ask you, as kind of an authority in terms of film, if your Discovery and Johnny Depp wins this case, how are you going to save face continuing to promote and keep Amber Heard as part of Aquaman?
Well, the one thing that I have to look at is production studios, because basically this Warner owns Aquaman and they own the Fantastic Beasts series. So it's weird for them to cut out Depp and not cut out Heard.
Right.
Great. When they have those things, right? So, but just because they're the distributors of both, there are other production companies involved. It's not the same.
Different sponsors?
Company. Not even sponsors. It's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's different because there's different companies who create the film. They're all owned by the parent. Warner Brothers is the umbrella company with all these other companies and production studios and things underneath. It's like how Disney works with Marvel and 20th Century Studios now, I think it's called, where Disney is the parent company, but Marvel is still its own standalone company. So that could play into it. But I am curious to see what they're going to do. I don't know if it would call for a reshoot. I think there is also this mindset, I don't want to get into it because I know you could probably talk about it for a while, but I think there is a very big difference in mindset when a woman claims to be wronged versus when a man claims to be wronged. And so when a man does something against a woman in film with the whole Me Too movement and everything, I think the consequences are very severe, but we don't see that very often where the tables have turned. So I don't know.
I'm going to politely let you continue this.
If Amber Heard would be treated with the same, I don't want to say punishment, but it kind of
is. Well, y'all want to be treated the same, so.
Well, Chris, stop. I told you I don't want to, you just,
I'm sorry.
You shut your damn mouth.
You shut your damn mouth.
So I think it's interesting because I do think there is a difference, and it's not very often that the woman is on the side of it, of the side of the wrong. So there's not a lot of precedent there. And I think Hollywood has to be careful in terms of how they approach it, because it's not that Amber Heard was the only one who was wrong. I think they were both wrong. So they have to be careful in terms of that perception, in terms of sexism and protecting women and the whole Me Too movement, because even if Amber Heard is found to be guilty, so is Depp. Yeah. So it's almost like this perception of who's worse. And I think Depp will be perceived to be worse just because of the fact that he's a man.
Do you think Depp has a case against Warner Brothers for firing him?
No, Depp's case is against the newspaper for libel, for claiming that he's a wife beater when he's not, because they're the ones who ruined his reputation. And because that showed up in newspapers, that's why Warner Brothers cut him. And Warner Brothers did have every right. Like, he can't get mad at Warner Brothers for that. What he needs in order to be able to get back in good graces with studios, he needs to win this. And I don't even think, I might be wrong, I don't think the case is against, there's a couple different cases. There's Depp versus like some newspaper, whatever newspaper printed it. And then I think there's still Depp and Heard itself as its own thing. So Depp needs to win cases against the newspaper because they're to win the libel case and claim that they lied about his persona and caused him, negative effects in his career unjustly. So that's why he was pulled, is because of what was printed in the paper. If nothing was, if the papers didn't print anything about him like being a wife beater or anything, I wouldn't be surprised if he was still in the franchise. But I think once something like that shows up in like news, it kind of puts you in a whole nother level.
Well, I'm glad that, you know, I'm happy you're the one that discussed this whole man-woman thing, because I'm not, you know, I'll get into a massive soapbox, we'll get canceled by somebody, and then I won't be able to, we'll lose friends over things that I would have to say. I'll be looked at as a womanizer and against feminism and all that bullshit. But
you calling feminism bullshit?
No, I'm saying all that BS that goes along with it.
I'm glad I called that out.
I'm not scared of anyone. So but that goes into my next question now. If you're the studio, let me just ask you before we move on to what I want to ask you. If you're Discovery, what do you do with Amber Heard?
Oh, you did ask that, and then I just went round.
You
and
did,
round,
yeah,
and round.
Yeah.
I did. Well, this is another answer. I think they have to decide between Ezra or Amber, because they can't afford to reshoot both movies. They can't afford to redo both movies. So right. Part of me wants to, I'm curious as to what the thoughts are there, because they have two stars of two very big important films that aren't standalone films. They're within a franchise, so mm-hmm. they impact how other films are made and done. And they have two actors who have reason to be called to be replaced, mm-hmm. but can they afford to replace right. them?
Yeah.
And I don't think they will, because I think Aquaman is very expensive to shoot.
Yeah, well, yeah, I assume. Okay, so now going forward, with everything that's been going with Ezra Miller, what's going on with all the pushbacks of these films, and the rumors running rampant now that Discovery is very interested in bringing back the Snyderverse. The Batman wasn't as successful as even the studios thought it would be, or like most people.
Awful.
It was
so bad. I came down to 18 minutes into the film and said, "This is awful. I am done." Mm-hmm. And then I proceeded to watch the rest of the movie.
So the Batman, you know, for people to say, it's like, it's funny how when the movie does come out and they see it's not making the money it was, you know, it should make as a Batman film, everybody all over Twitter, you know, just all of a sudden became quiet. They put their, you know, tails between their legs and they ran away promoting and loving this movie because it sucked. So If you're Discovery, mm-hmm. wouldn't now be the perfect time to start planning to make that Ben Affleck Batman film? It's already been said that Discovery has already reached out and said that, you know, they want to treat Superman the way he should be treated with Henry Cavill. Gal Gadot is making Wonder Woman 3. We already know most likely they're going to replace Ezra Miller as Flash. Aquaman, I mean, God, Momoa is basically a Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yes, Chris, we know you love.
No. My point is, he's already signed on to do like three more Warner Brothers Discovery movies, so he's locked in to pretty much anything that Warner Brothers or Discovery asks. If you're Discovery, are you doing whatever you can?
Do you know
now?
That's how it used to work?
Yeah, they used to sign three picture deals.
With and having no idea what the pictures were.
Yeah, that's weird.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, you would sign with the studio and you would do like a 5-picture deal and they would tell you what pictures you're in. It wasn't like you're in 3 Aquaman movies. It's you're going to be in 3 movies in the next 2 years.
Well, it doesn't work like that anymore.
Isn't it? It's fascinating.
But that's
the whole
amazing.
Studio system was fascinating. And then it's like, it's the way people could have like only certain studios would have certain actors or actresses because they were under contract for the studio.
That's
not
incredible.
The film. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Answer your question since I cut you off.
Wouldn't this be like the perfect moment to say this? I mean, we might want to get this done now.
Yes and no. Yes, okay. But I think they want to be really smart about it, because I think they have an opportunity. I think, and we even talked about this recently, the growth of of one-off series. And what's it called? It's not called a series. It's called a limited release, essentially, mm-hmm. like what Moon Knight is. Right. And part of me thinks that they want to look it through and be really smart with it. Because it might be better to do a limited release show as opposed to a full movie. I don't think that's what they're discussing, but that's what I think they should be discussing, is deciding which one they're going to go with. And I think that they should go with the show. Can you imagine like Moon Knight and how good that is? But can you imagine a limited six episode show starring Ben Affleck and Jared Leto? I mean, Harley Quinn in there or something, because the thing is, if you do a limited series, you'll be able to give him more time. And I think you'll be able to fill more people's, you know, desires in terms of what they want to see out of Ben Affleck as Batman and those stories. Where if you make one film and then it's really well, then you have to figure out if you're going to make another one, and then time gets added on and it's more costly, I think, in the long run. So I think they should decide to do a limited series now and not do film. And do put it out on HBO Max.
So you're basically saying what you would do is like get Ben Affleck to do a 6-7 part Batman series on HBO Max, which is being discussed, which is brilliant, which is an easy decision for Ben Affleck because you make more money.
Mm-hmm. 50-minute episodes.
50-minute episodes. The budget can be a little higher because it's television and it's not a film. Mm-hmm. So the overhead isn't nearly as much.
No distribution costs.
Right. And then I guess you probably have to make a Superman movie, another one.
Or a limited release series of Superman. I don't know if you need another Superman movie. I think they have an opportunity with both Ben and Henry, because yeah. I think they're both embody the versions of Batman and Superman that they're going for. Yeah. Like Ben is the perfect older Batman, yeah. and Henry is the perfect kind of scorn. Like, he's just, I think he really is the perfect Superman. Yeah, I think he's the best casted amongst the whole group. I mean, Gal Gadot is also, I mean, it was all very well casted except for Ezra Miller, but I think Ezra Miller actually did a really good job as Flash.
I thought so too. Yeah.
But no, I would do limited series for Batman. I just don't even know if they're discussing it. I don't know what the internal politics is over there and why not. And you and I talked about this earlier. I think one of the big leading factors as to why the Snyderverse even came out was because it was COVID and because they couldn't film anything new and they had an opportunity to get something huge out and they capitalized on a moneymaker. I think that's what it was. I think if COVID had never happened, I don't think we ever would have seen the cut of that film.
That's pretty awful to think about. So then what, you do the limited series and then you just combine it for Justice League 2?
You just bring it all together? Justice League 2, I think, would still be a movie. But I think if you do anything separate with Superman, I don't think a standalone film is going to be enough. I don't think people are going to want to see another standalone Superman film. I think they're going to want to see, this is, and it's the problem you have with Marvel, is once you introduce characters to each other, people don't want to see them separate. People go to the movie looking forward to that cameo. People go looking forward to see, okay, who's going to show up in this film? Who's going to be a main component? And that's what happens in all Marvel movies now. They always group people together and it's always different pairings and it's fantastic. And now that they've grouped them together, one, in the from where they are in their reality, in the reality of the film, it doesn't make sense for them to be separate. Like if there's a big event or something dangerous, Ben Affleck as Batman isn't going to be on vacation just for the sake of Superman getting his own movie kind of thing. You know what I mean? They're going to interact. Yeah, so yeah. I don't think anyone's going to want to see a Superman standalone film, because we want to see the different characters mm-hmm. emerge. And then it comes on. And so I think that it should, I actually think the Ben Affleck series could have Henry in it. Yeah. Quite a bit as Superman. It's just still, the focus is still Ben Affleck. Like you could still involve the different characters in different ways, but long story short, and I know I said it, so I'll say it one final time. I don't think people are as interested in a standalone Superman movie. I think they're more interested in Batman because
Ben I agree. Didn't
get his film, but I mm-hmm. think it's more about Ben not getting his film than it is about the standalone Batman, because people are super excited about Ben. People are really excited about Jared Leto in the nightmare sequence. Mm-hmm. And I think people really want to see that story play out. And yeah. that story that plays out before Justice League even happens. So that story would almost be a prequel to Batman versus Superman. So then it actually could make sense for a Superman not to show up. But I think once you introduce people together, unless you're doing the prequel route of things, people don't want to see things without interaction from those other characters.
Hmm. Understood. I agree with you. I think the most important thing right now is to get a solo Ben Affleck project done. I think you have to do it. It's been so long. It's his fault in the beginning. It is his fault that the reason why he didn't get his solo film. He quit the project. He quit it. That's on him. But obviously, there's a lot of things that go into that, a lot of behind the scenes garbage. But look, it's not. I started at the top of the show with how I said how this is, you know, Warner Brothers' chance to compete with Marvel in a way. There's nothing that DC can do to compete with Marvel right now. Anybody who's anybody in film will tell you the reason that film is still alive right now is because of Marvel. And it's the reason why film could be dying as well, because people only care about superhero films in the past decade or so. And it's a problem. I mean, it's great for people like you and I, because that's what we love. We love that. But it just seems like nobody wants to see any other movie unless it's got something Marvel attached to it. Do you believe that? Is that the trend?
I don't believe that. I think we forget that it's been hard. We haven't seen good films in a long time because of COVID. Yeah. And if you can think through who's going to be able to get through COVID and be able to do something, it's going to be the studios with the big, big, big budgets. And you can be in different places and get things done. So it makes sense that some of these bigger, bigger projects are able to get pushed a little bit further during COVID, just because of the nature that they're big beasts. And a lot of the smaller independent films and lower budget films automatically get paused, and they're probably paused for longer because they're not a priority. So I think we've had a couple years of really poor film. Like I think The Lost City was the only film that's come out in years that hasn't been a Marvel film that I'm like, wow, I really want to see that.
Yeah, I agree.
Or James Bond. That's another big franchise. I think
that's a franchise.
I think you should adjust your statement too, because I think what you actually are trying to say isn't Marvel. People are interested in Marvel. People are interested in the next film in a franchise, whether it's Bond, whether it's DC, whether it's Marvel, even things like Fast and Furious. Like, people are interested in continuing their relationships with these franchises. You know, they put years and years and years into it, and they want to see it.
Transformers.
They want to see the next one. I'll turn it on. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, Fast and Furious and Transformers just keep pumping out movies, and they keep making money.
I don't remember when the last Transformers movie was. Is there another one coming out? I just don't know.
Yeah,
Park's a perfect example. Like, people are excited to see things they've seen before. People right now are really into, what's that word I love to use? Nostalgia.
Yeah.
So anything, and people like continuing on story. So I think standalone films are having a lot of a harder time.
So Bumblebee was the last one, 2018. They have apparently the best one of the entire franchise is coming out next year, The Rise of the Beasts. And then there's another one coming out in 2024. So there's been six movies, and the six movies have made $4.8 billion.
Marvel's better.
Clearly, Marvel is better. I want to see how the Fast and Furious franchise has done. It's coming up on its 10th movie.
Things like, if you look at Pixar, like, Pixar really wanted to go to the route of no sequels. And you know what people want to see? The sequels.
Yeah, the sequels. Yeah. They're quickly learning that they made a mistake saying they're not going to do sequels anymore. And it's really hurting their bottom line. I mean, the fact, I never thought I'd see a day where a Pixar movie was just thrown on a streaming service. So with and Turning
it
Red,
wasn't that. It was good. It was okay.
But, no, but just think of that.
I know.
Like, think it's like 2008 or 9, and you're like, Pixar is just going to be released on TV? That's impossible. I mean, they kind of are doing, I know it's not a sequel, but they are doing a prequel. I mean, they're doing Lightyear, which is a Buzz Lightyear story. So,
what? I didn't know that.
Oh my God.
Lightyear is about Buzz Lightyear?
Okay. So it's semantics in a way. We're like, oh, we're not doing sequels, but you are doing a Buzz Lightyear movie.
Well, they returned to their money machine.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I also think Turning Red going straight to streaming has things to do with other things. Like, it was a good movie.
You said it was good about
the demographic. It's a smaller demographic who would really like it, and not one that probably goes to the theaters. It's because it's probably a lot of tween girls, and so they would need their parents to take them, and their parents don't want to see the movie. They don't want to see the movie with their parents.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, younger. It's not like Frozen where the adults want to see it and everyone has to see it. So I think they also made a smart choice in terms of skip all distribution costs and get it here. But I didn't think Soul was a good movie.
Soul was terrible. Onward was terrible.
You ended up liking
Onward. No, I hated the last 30 minutes of Onward were bad.
And what was the other movie that came out? The fish one. I watched part of Luca. It and turned it off. Luca.
That was nominated.
Pixar, right?
I think
Luca. Well, they always get nominated. They're always going to get nominated. It's too small of a... They're the big fish in the small pond.
That's true. Luca...
I think it was Pixar.
This production company, Walt Disney Pictures.
Yeah, no, maybe it was.
Yeah. No, it was Pixar.
Okay.
Yeah, Pixar Animation.
Yeah, I wasn't... That was kind of boring.
Yeah, that came out right smack dab during COVID, so it made no money. It made $50 million.
I just think people don't have, and I think it's been so stressful over the past couple of years for people. Mm-hmm. I don't think people want to invest in something new. Yeah. I think they want to see what they're used to and just
Spider-Man. Geez, goodness.
Yeah.
Who would have thought Spider-Man would have made $1.8 billion?
Who would have thought Spider-Man would have been on screen with Spider-Man and Spider-Man?
You're right, actually. All right, so
we never thought we would see.
Never ever. That's like one of those things that you would only see like in a video game.
Correct.
Like, hey, cool, let's download all three versions of Spider-Man, but not in a movie. Like, it's still amazing that it even happened. Like, we got to watch it again because I know it's
there's
now you can
so much red tape there that they were all able to cross between all the actors willing to come back and between the crossing of studios, and it just incredible.
Do you think that happens if Disney took over Spider-Man and bought Spider-Man from Sony? You think that movie happens the way it did?
Yeah. Okay. Especially if Disney purely owned it? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So before we get out of here, I was asked a question by one of our good friends, Kyle, who he and his wife, Caitlin, host a really cool couples podcast, Catching Up with the Higgins. You guys can check that out anywhere you listen to podcasts. They did a show, or they're doing a show coming up. I hope I'm not spoiling it for them, but I mean, he told me what it is, so I want to talk about it. They're going to plan. They have an endless budget, and they can do whatever they want by planning their perfect Disney vacation. Where you're going to eat, where you're going to stay, how long your stay is, all these things. And he's doing it, and he asked me, you know, what mine would be. And I said, I really have to think about that. And I figured what Morgan and I can do to kick off our show next week is maybe give what our perfect Disney vacation would look like. We'll just run it down real quick because I don't want to steal their topic. Maybe we could do that some other time, maybe before we go to our trip in October. But that's a
really, really cool idea. I love that. That's going to be a fun show.
It's a really cool idea, and I'll have to read it to you, how it was broken down, all the questions that he asked me, because I thought it was just absolutely brilliant to do. So I figured let's just do that at the top of the show next week, and then we'll get into what our topic is for next week, which I'm not totally sure what that is yet. Okay, so Here is the questions that he told me.
No, stop. No, let people listen to his podcast.
No.
No, he didn't tell, you no, stop. No.
Calm down. Relax. Stop. He didn't give me his answers. These are the questions I have to answer. I know, answer.
But let him go through it. Don't spoil their fun.
Okay, all right. You're right. I just thought you thought that I was going to give away answers, which I don't even have.
No, I think you're trying to take their brilliant idea.
That's and put not. It into your own. No, I'm not. If anything, I'm giving them promotion to go listen to the episode.
It's promotion until you start spoiling it.
I'm not spoiling anything, but okay. I don't think you understand. But I
understand
I get
what you're saying, and I'm saying you better shut your damn mouth.
All right. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Thank you guys very much for tuning in last week to our I guess you could say our comeback episode. I really appreciate it.
Comeback kid.
Definitely check out all of our other episodes in the archives. It's 11 o'clock here. So basically, Morgan and I's night is just beginning. So, we're going to, I guess, watch some television shows now.
Parks and Rec, baby.
Yes. God, you gotta see
if Leslie Knope wins.
Yeah. I don't even remember. We stopped at that point. I can't believe we ever stopped because that show was
watching it all the way through.
Pure brilliance, that show. All right. So I'm Chrissy Francesco and that is my wife, Morgan. And, yeah. We hope you guys have a great rest of your week and weekend, and we'll catch you guys down the road. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
On the flip side.